What's up, nerds? And welcome back to your weekly movie review podcast. That's right, you are locked in and tuned in to the 3FN Podcast. And as always, we are coming to you from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games. This week, we will be reviewing the brand new film, Boy Kills World. And judging from its box office, most of you haven't seen that. So hopefully you enjoy the review. But before we get there, I'm your host, Rich, and the nerds are all here. First of all, after seeing Boy Kills World, this nerd decided, hey, I'm going to wander off into the woods and find my own shaman. Well, he's calling him a shaman, but I'm pretty sure he's just a meth head named Ed. But ladies and gentlemen, back from his mission away, Ron.
It was Albert. Albert was his name.
I'm pretty sure his real name's Ed. I don't know. We'll have to get some confirmation.
Albert. He told me it was Albert. He just told me it was Albert. I gotta go back.
Got some stink bugs.
Well, of course, the other nerd doesn't need an introduction yet. He has the longest introduction in all of podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Big Natty Cool, hashtag Challenge Accepted, hashtag Diesel Malenko, because he's the man of 1,004 hashtags. He is the leader of the Minnows Gang and is your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster. He is the man, the myth, and the legend rolled into one jolly old ginger bearded feller. This is Diesel
Rampage.
You know, I just decided to go on with the This Is Diesel now, because now that Sting is retired, there's no longer to say This Is Sting.
Yeah.
So now you've gotten that mantle. One name with a This Is instead of He Is. I like it. Well, gentlemen, before we dive into the meat and potatoes of the show, how has been your week? Starting with you, Ron.
Week's been okay. Can't complain too much. It's been an interesting week because I started my 5 a.m. shift.
Oh, yeah.
So I work 5 a.m. to 1:30 now, which, you know, you think would just be like, oh, it's just an hour difference. It's okay. Nope. It is completely screwed up
my whole day.
That's
a whole lifestyle change.
Yeah. I like getting out at 1:30, but it's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Then, of course, I have fostered / play adopting a dog. So nice. We have a dog now at the house. New, you know, she's a 10-year-old, so she's not a puppy, but she's a lovable dog. She wouldn't have made it in a pound, so.
Yep.
Yeah, did that, all that stuff, so it's been one of those weeks. And our D&D group, you know, had to fight a dragon.
You guys lose in a spectacular way?
No, we actually got enough damage done, because it's D&D 5th edition, so when you fight dragons that are higher than you, you just gotta get them, like, half down. So, it just started chucking magic missiles as soon as we started combat, because I'm like, this is all I can do! I have no real other spells against this thing.
The D&D version of participation awards.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like fun. Diesel, how's been your week?
I actually had a solid weekend. I took Saturday off so I could go play in a Magic Pioneer RCQ event, where went to another store to play, and of the 32 people there, I probably knew 27 of them, and I've probably pulled orders for all 27 of those people. Had a good time playing Pioneer. Didn't put up the best results, but I went 2-2, dropped for food. But yard sailing as well to Apalachin for their yard sale day, so that was fun. And then me and you went and saw the movie yesterday after I worked for probably 9 hours here.
Yeah, geez, that's a long time. Yeah, I've had, you know, working, getting back in the swing of things, starting to do a couple other things. We had my wife's niece's memorial yesterday, so that was, you know, that was before we went to see the movie. So everything's gone well, you know. We got a lot of things coming up, so everything's on the precipice. We got some big stuff coming up in the month of May, but hey, that's enough hearing me talk. Let's go on over and dive into those opening shameless plugs that I've cut down so much, because hey, we like to talk about the fun stuff too, but we do need to let you know that if you want to find out any information at all about us, you have to go over to 3fnpodcast.com. There you can find all the social media links, you can find the link to our TeePublic store, and you can find the link, most importantly, to patreon.com/3fnpodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show and get a bunch of bonus content. On top of all of that, go check out Friends of the Show, like the ODPH podcast. They got a section. It'll take you right over to their website. And also Nerd Initiative. Go to nerdinitiative.com as the home of pop culture positivity. And make sure that you are subscribed to the Nerd Initiative YouTube channel, where every Thursday night, if you want to talk about pro wrestling, you can do that with me and Ken M and New Guy Nick on Wrestling Night Live, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Nerd Initiative YouTube channel. Also, Ken has a show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. called Turn a Page. It's a comic book showcase, and there's a lot more coming up, so you're going to want to dive on to that revolution that is Nerd Initiative. Also, shout-outs to the bands who allow us to use their music so we don't get hit with those dreaded DMCAs. First and foremost, the band that does our theme song each and every week here, giving a shout-out to Shout at the Robot. Song's name is Fail Better. Check it out on Spotify, YouTube Music, and Bandcamp, and of course support them and all the other great bands that you find in the musical directory because they support us. And last but certainly not least is our sponsors. They are the folks that allow us to come to you commercial free every week, so you don't have to hear those annoying commercials. But let's give them a quick shout out real quick. Rex Rods Auto Detailing. We also have W Energy, W.GG. Get all those great energy drinks. Third, we have Sci-Fi Horror Fest coming up in August, so you're going to make sure you want to check that out. And last but not least, our main sponsor, Dragon Master Games, for all your Magic the Gathering and gaming needs. Visit them on the World Wide Web, DragonMasterGames.com. So there you go. We got through it. And now that we are done with the business side, it's time to jump right on over and kick off the show with a little bit of...
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome to Diesel's movie, Triple Stuff. Kind of a quiet box office this week. Coming in at number 5 for its second week, Abigail with another $5.3 million.
Enough to almost make its money back, pretty much.
Coming in at number 4, Civil War pulls in another $7 million.
No surprises there.
Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, pulls in $7.2 million to come into the number 3rd spot.
I was going
to
say, and they're going to be on streaming soon.
Debuting this week at number 2, Unsung Hero with $7.8 million.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even see that coming anywhere, but yeah. Damn.
And then debuting in the number 1 spot, Challengers with $15 million.
Well, I think that was under budgeted than what they thought it was going to be, but, you know, movie theaters, for some reason, people just don't want to go, and I don't get it, because I love going to the movie theater, let's be honest. With that being said, by the way, there were some big re-releases this past weekend, too. Alien was back in there, and there was a couple other ones that people re-released, so keep your eyes out for those, because they're doing big numbers as well. But, Diesel, what's upcoming to the theater?
All right, coming out on May 3rd, we have the animated movie Mars Express, the animated movie Dragon Keeper, the horror movie Tarot, and the action comedy slash drama The Fall Guy.
By the way, The Fall Guy will be next week's 3FN Movie Club review, but I'm sure that we'll probably squeak out to see some other movies as well this week. Well, I know we're going out to see Phantom Menace. By the way, speaking of movies that are re-releasing, Phantom Menace is re-releasing 25 full years of The Phantom Menace. So let's go see how that's about. What else do we got going on the week after that, Diesel?
All right, coming out May 10th, we got one big heavy hitter, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
That will be that week's 3FN Movie Club review, just so you guys know.
And one of the only movies stupid enough to go against it, Not Another Church Movie.
I mean, it's a good week for it. That's not going to get big returns anyways, but yeah, I think that's the monster week for that. So those are your next couple weeks of the show. But Diesel, now that we're past the box office, both present and future, what is this week's top three?
All right, this is your top three Chinese takeout orders.
By the way, this is spawned on because, hey, we always like to try to change things up, and sometimes we talk about food and stuff, but me and Diesel, you know, we had a little bit of inspiration yesterday. Although we didn't go to the Chinese restaurant, but we did have inspiration. But Diesel did go on Saturday.
Yes.
So with that being said, also, we're not going to go into the full thing, but Diesel also tried to throw us under the bus for being General Tso's basic bitches, which we are not, but we do like ourselves some General Tso's chicken. By the way, it is my tester at any place I go. Yes. It is the first thing I'll order, because if that's good, then everything else should be fine, because it's easy to make, but, you know, whatever, Diesel. All right, but I'm going to give you everything but that. So General Tso's is on my list, don't you worry. No, but I'm going to give you everything but that, because I'm proving a damn point here.
It's all on all of our lists, people, so it's just we're not just saying it.
My number three is actually a tie, and I wanted to, like, expound on it, so I'm going to give you the two. And it's an appetizer and dessert. I'm a big egg roll fan, and I'm a big Chinese donut fan.
Chinese
donut. I like to order Chinese donuts with my food, and I also like to order that extra egg roll.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it's coming from a place. And I go to a place where the Chinese food is amazing. I know everybody says they have a place, but mine's pretty damn good. And my number two spot, and it's an old favorite, and it's going to be something weird to most people, lo mein.
Oh, good lo
mein. I'm a big lo mein fan.
Yes.
I'm a big lo mein fan. But my number one, and it's because of the, and I'll give them a shout out. They're not a sponsor, but New Century in Johnson City, New York. In my opinion, the best Chinese restaurant that exists. Pan-fried wontons in Szechuan sauce. It'll change your fucking life. I'm just throwing out there. It'll change your life. Ron, your top three.
My number three is, I just like wonton soup and ragoon. I do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wonton soup is delicious.
Then yeah, I am a basic bitch with this one, which is sweet and sour chicken. It's always just a go-to for me.
Bok bok chicken.
Pretty much.
Goddamn
chicken nuggies.
Sweet and sour pork is also pretty
good. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's basically chicken nuggies. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it is.
And then my number one is chicken and broccoli and garlic sauce. I freaking love that shit.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Diesel, your top three.
All right. And I'm even going to give you where each of these are, because I have a thing for each one. So honorable mention for my General Tso's. It doesn't make the list because it's my General Tso's basic bitch. But Fraternity, General Tso's, but you also got to get an order of their boneless spare ribs, which sometimes they don't have in stock. That's the best thing on their menu, though.
Right, maybe.
Coming at number three, all the way from Dragon Kim, their cheese wontons are the best. Hands down best. Their other stuff, their chicken on sticks pretty good too, but their meals themselves are kind of on the lower end of the spectrum, but they have, in the area, the best cheese wontons. Number two, from Hong Kong out in Kirkwood, the black pepper chicken. I don't know if you've ever had the black pepper chicken.
I've had it.
Hands down delicious.
Nice.
And then number one, from your place, New Century, the coconut chicken with the pan-fried wontons. Because you take the pan-fried wontons, you sit on top of the coconut chicken. You have the sweetness of the coconut chicken and the spice from the Szechuan sauce. So good.
Look at that. He's mixing flavors. The New Century is the best. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I mean, everybody has their favorite place. But I used to make fun. Me and Diesel used to make fun of that place because we'd drive by and they used to have a sign out front that said best Chinese food in town. And we used to make fun of it. And then the game shop that we went to back then moved right next to it. And the first pre-release, we went and got food. And guess what? We were like, never mind. This is the best Chinese food in the area. And shortly thereafter, then we discovered the best dish ever. That would be the pan-fried wontons and Szechuan sauce, which at the time only cost like $3.
Yeah, it was $2.95. Inflation's a bitch because now it's $5.10.
But it's still underpriced for what it is. Yes. Like, it's delicious. And you get like 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah, it's a full. You can have that for your full meal.
Oh, absolutely. I usually get that, eat a couple, save it, and then have the rest the next day as like a lunch. Because I'll get a full meal on top of that. So to me, it's all the sides, brother. The sides. All right. With that, if you want to tell us about your top three Chinese takeout orders, go ahead and do that on social medias. Hit us up. You can find those at 3FNpodcast.com. But now we're going to exit out of Diesel's movie Triple Stuff, and we're going to jump right on into...
Welcome to
3FN Movie Club.
Refreshments are available in the lobby. And please, keep our theater clean by disposing of trash in specified containers. And remember, gift certificates are available for any special occasion. Enjoy the show.
That is right, it's time for this week's 3FN Movie Club review. And this week, we will be reviewing the brand new film, Boy Kills World. Or as we like to call it, the prequel to The Crow. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are new here, this is your first time listening, by the way. Thank you for giving us a shot. Hopefully you'll stay around, listen to the new episodes as they come out every Tuesday. And of course, also go back and listen to some older reviews because we have a lot of stuff in the can. We just celebrated 6 years of being a podcast. So we have 6 years worth of stuff back there, including special episodes and everything else. So have fun. Just don't judge us for some of the older stuff. Obviously, over time, we've gotten better. But then again, some of you might argue we've never gotten better. And maybe you think that we're the shit, and to you I say I still don't give a shit.
Yeah,
and oh hey, but
you're still listening. We're doing something right.
We're here for a fun time, so we're just gonna give you a quick rundown of how new movies are treated on the 3FN Movie Club review, because we will not spoil movies for you. We have two different sections. We have a spoiler free and a spoiler full section, and we are separating them by a break so you have even more time. So in this first part, don't worry, it's all spoiler free. Gonna give you the synopsis, gonna give you the stats of the movie, including who made it and who starred in it, and then ending with a thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down recommendation, spoiler free. Then there'll be a break. After the break, we'll give you one final warning before jumping into the full spoiler review, which then we'll play the game to find out the scores from around the internet, and then finally give our scores for Boy Kills World. So now that that's been said, gentlemen, are you ready to get the spoiler-free portion of the podcast on the way?
Oh, yeah.
Diesel, I believe...
Man, I got a story to tell!
A young, mute, deaf boy spends years training under the mysterious shaman to take down the family at the head of a totalitarian dictatorship. That's it.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Without spoiling anything, that's the plot.
By the way, Boy Kills World was released April 26th of 2024 with a 111-minute runtime. We finally got out of the 109 section, by the way. There was no budget given. However, I found out that this is currently the highest budget film from South Africa. So it's a South African film.
Okay.
I did not know that, but they've got other ones coming. So this was news to me when I was reading about today on Deadline. By the way, box office, domestic, it only opened here in the States. It has not had a worldwide release, so it's the same, $1.7 million. So either way, it's pretty underperformed. But hey, you got to take a swing, take a shot. That doesn't mean anything about the movie. We'll find out about that in a minute. However, now it's time to find out...
Who made this film?
And of course, who made it? First of all, the director of this film, Moritz Moore. This was his first movie. He has done some shorts. That's it. First movie.
Nice.
So there you go.
Very impressive for a debut film.
Screenplay for this film, Moritz Moore did the screen story, and there was a short that they made, so a short by, but this was also his first movie writing. And then on there was a team of guys, Armin Remmers and Tyler Burton Smith, who did the rest of the screenplay, and their only movie credit for both of these gentlemen, Child's Play 2019. However, you probably know their work from... video games, as these were the writers of Alan Wake 2.
Okay.
Amongst a few other video games, but that was the one that's big that's just coming out. So there you go. That's what they've done other than this. That's going to come back, by the way, in a minute. Your director of photography for this film was Peter Majosko. Teenage Angst in 2008, and then In the Isles. Everything else is pretty much a foreign film from either Germany or South Africa. And then the composer for this film, Ludwig Forssell. This is Ludwig's first movie. However, you have heard him before because he has composed some pretty big video games, including Death Stranding, which was also the, you know, remember the game before that with Pi, and also Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So he has he works with Kojima pretty much. So there it is. With that being said, that is going to do it for the people who made this film. It is now time to find out.
For the love of God, will someone please punch me in the face so I can see some scars?
Who starred in this film? And we're going to start off with the lead character, which was the boy played by Bill Skarsgård. Of course, you remember Bill Skarsgård from some pretty awesome things, including... what's that movie with the creepy clown Diesel that made you kung fu chop the air?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space? Holy shit.
No, of course. In It, Chapter 2, he played Pennywise. Also, Barbarian, kind of an interesting role there in the movie Barbarian. And then you remember him from John Wick Chapter 4. And, of course, he's going to be playing The Crow in The Crow movie. Yep. So that's why we made the joke that this is basically the prequel to The Crow. Playing June 27 is Jessica Roth. Jessica Roth, you might remember her as playing the lead role in the Happy Death Day movies. She played Tree in Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You. She was also Alexis in La La Land. And most recently, she was in a movie called All My Life. She's been in a ton of stuff. So we're going to probably see her more. And I'm assuming she'll be back for the trilogy movie for Happy Death Day, which we know is possibly on the way soon. Next up, playing Melody, Vanderkooy, Michelle Dockery. I was mixing her real name with her character name. You might remember her from Downton Abbey. She plays Lady Mary. She was also in The Gentleman and most recently This Town. So a lot of Guy Ritchie in English stuff, but very good in this movie. Next up, playing the role of Gideon Vanderkooy, Brett Gelman. Brett Gelman, you might remember him from The Other Guys. Very Harold and Kumar Christmas, Lemon, Fleabag, and most recently, he was Murray in Stranger Things.
Yes.
So he's, you probably remember, just by seeing him, you know who he is.
He's one of those guys you see and you're just like, I know that guy.
Yep. Playing Benny is Isaiah Mustafa. Isaiah Mustafa, you might remember him as the adult version of Mike in It Chapter 2. So Bill Skarsgård there. Horrible Bosses, Nikita, and so much more. He's been in a ton of stuff. If you know him, you love him. He's a pretty good actor. Playing the shaman is Yayan Ruhan. And Yaha Ruhan was in Star Wars Episode 7. He played Tasu Leech.
Yeah.
He was also in The Raid Redemption and The Raid 2. And then he was also in John Wick Chapter 3. He played Shinobi Number 2.
What movie is that?
Yeah. Next up on the list, we have playing Glenn Vanderkoy, somebody that Diesel very loves, Charlotto Copley. Of course, Charlotto, you know him from District 9. Yep. You know him from Chappie. You know him from Hardcore Henry. You know him from the A-Team as Murdoch. Monkey Man, actually, this came out this year. Yep. He was also in Beast, and our favorite part of Beast, if I'm not mistaken. He's been in a ton of stuff. Diesel, your love for Charlotto?
Yeah, Charlotto Copley is fucking great. And he played a very interesting character in this movie. I will say that it took me a minute to recognize who it was, but once I was like, ooh, that's fucking awesome.
Playing the role literally of Basho, Andrew Koji. He was in Bullet Train. He was in Fast and the Furious 6. He was in Snake Eyes. That was the Transformer movie, Snake Eyes, by the way.
Yep.
Above the Waist, Gangs of London, some stuff that was newer. Loved him in this movie, by the way. Just going to throw that out there. We'll talk more about it in this one.
Oh.
And last but certainly not least, giving a shout out here, the legendary at this point in juncture, because I think she is, Famke Janssen, playing Hilda Vanderkoy. Of course, you remember her from her role as Jean Grey in the original X-Men movies, the first three trilogy movies. She was also in GoldenEye, The House on Haunted Hill. She's been in a ton of stuff. Let's be honest. If you don't know who Famke Janssen is at this point in juncture, man, I don't know what to tell you. I know Diesel loved her on The Blacklist.
She was also Blacklist, Maid, Rounders. Yep. She shows up everywhere. She's great.
Absolutely. So it's got one hell of a cast. And with that, let's find out finally what our spoiler-free recommendations are. So this is going to be a thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or a thumbs down with a spoiler-free why. We'll start with Ron. What's your recommendation for Boy Kills World?
All right, I'm going to put it as a thumbs up, because I did enjoy seeing this movie. So I think, you know, it's one of those action movies. I think if you like action movies, I don't think you'd be disappointed with it. If you like old Kung Fu movies, I don't think you'd be disappointed with it. If you're looking for Citizen Kane, go elsewhere.
Diesel, what is your take on it?
I'm also giving it a thumbs up. This movie is the quintessential action movie that's done uniquely. So it has a unique take on the genre. It brings in a bunch of different stuff from different genres like Kung Fu and some comedy beats that worked perfectly. I really enjoyed this movie.
Okay, I'm also giving it a thumbs up. This reminded me of literally old Kung Fu flicks. It was so entertaining in that aspect. I could get how some people wouldn't dig that if you weren't into those things. Movie that definitely did not take itself seriously at all. This is the kind of movie that I was expecting Silent Night to be.
Yes.
And it didn't go that route. It tried to take itself a little more seriously. This movie never takes itself seriously. I love it for it. I give it a thumbs up. And you'll have to see what the exact score is in the second half of the show, because we're going to finally take our break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the spoiler full review of Boy Kills World.
This is Jill Whitlow from Night of the Creeps, and you are listening to the incredible, vivacious Three Fat Nerds.
Stepping around social landmines and dodging depression with self-medication. I'm dying to some real headlines and comments. The kids get smashed on the front line. So take it with that decision and pick one decision in every word.
And we're back from the break, and then we are about to jump into the spoiler full review. But before we do, I want to bring up an important subject for us. This upcoming in May, because it's almost May, it's almost upon us as you guys are listening to it today, literally a day away. May 31st, to be exact, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live stream for A Cure. Our friends over at the Pint and Stew World Order, they have a segment at 8 p.m. May 31st for live stream for A Cure. We're going to be blasting it everywhere. We would like you guys to support if you can. It is for cancer research. It is a great cause, and please support our friends. Once again, John has set a personal goal to be the to have the record stream, and we're going to try to help push that along. I know myself, I'm saving up some money. I know Diesel, Ron, we're all getting stuff together to send a big donation from 3FN, and we would like you guys who listen to do the same. So please make sure you do that. I'm going to remind you of it every week, and I'm going to put it in different parts of the show so you can't avoid it. Just so you guys know, that's how tricky I am. So May 31st, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live stream for The Cure, Stew World Order, Pint. And check that out. It's going to be awesome. And donate some money to help the cause. With that being said, though, let's dive into the full spoiler review of Boy Kills World. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not seen Boy Kills World and you do not want it spoiled, this is your last chance to stop the podcast. Go see the movie and then come back and listen to the rest. However, if you've seen the movie or you just don't care that we spoil it, we're jumping into the full spoiler zone right about now. And of course, you know, we don't go through scene for scene in the movie. We'll just kind of do a skeleton, and this one, really skeleton. Holy, holy kabooly. And then we give our likes, dislikes before playing the game and finding out the scores from around the internet and finally giving our scores. So, gentlemen, this movie. I'm with Diesel. Diesel said today, I'm still not sure what I saw last night.
We went into the movie a little elevated, and one of the names we didn't mention during the who starred in this, this movie is narrated. The voice of the boy is none other than H. John Benjamin,
yep,
doing his pure Archer voice.
Yeah.
That is true. I forgot to mention that. So, yes, it is H. John Benjamin doing the voice, the narrator.
The inner monologue.
Because here, let's just get it out of the way. The boy is a mute, a deaf mute at that. Now, he didn't start off life as a deaf mute. We find out at some point in juncture when his family was murdered that instead of killing him, they stuck a hot poker in both of his ears and then cut his tongue out.
Yep.
The whole movie long, instead, we have this talkover. So we hear his inner, you know, his inner monologue is all we hear from him.
Yeah.
So we don't ever know what his real voice is. Yep. And that voice is told to us that basically they went to play a game that was kind of a Street Fighter ripoff.
Yes.
And the voice is literally the voice from that game that him and his sister used to play. So that is why it is kind of over the top. And it also is fucking awesome. I just want to throw that out there. So with that being said, the beginning of this movie I thought was kind of ingenious. You get like the back history of the character before the title card. And they kind of just kind of go through, and he's like, yeah, and I'm this, and I'm going to get revenge, and I'm going to kill Hilda Vanderkoy for killing my family. And, you know, basically you learn that every year they have this thing called the culling. And during the culling, basically the empress, if you will, Hilda, she decides against her people that she's are against her, and they kill them off for the crowd to show that, hey, we're improving society.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dystopian future.
Yeah, it's a totalitarian future. It's a purge planet.
Yes.
They're on a purge planet.
Yes. Basically, think well, here's another thing. Think Hunger Games.
Yep.
Yeah. Only without the games. They just round you up and kill you. So with that being said, he's being trained by the shaman. And this is how messed up this movie is right away, is that you get to see drugs blown in his face. And the shaman's definitely addicted to some kind of drug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Yeah.
His training starts, and he didn't realize the training would consist of so much dirt, because we first meet him, he is buried, and he's got a reed sticking through the ground.
He's a young boy, by the way.
He's a young boy, yep. And he is surviving off of eating stink bugs.
Yes.
And being buried alive.
And the funny part is when the one just sucks down in. You're just like, oh, Jesus. So after this, you know, we finally get the title card, and we kind of get the background story. He is being trained to kill Hilda Vanderkoy. And then we get to find out who the Vanderkoys are, pretty much. So basically, it's a family. Like, they break this down over, it's kind of a cool animation how they break it down. So we can't do that. It's a family of siblings. So Hilda was the leader of the revolution, if you will. And when it was all said and done, she became in charge. Then she has her sister, Melanie, who is basically the spokesperson. She's the PR, yep, if you will. She has her brother, Gideon, who is basically, He is he's supposed to be the security and the muscle, if you will, or the under boss, but he's kind of a bumbling idiot. Lovable, though.
Lovable, and he is an intelligent man who actually writes the speeches.
Yeah.
And he is an artistic man.
Yes, he is.
And when we hear in the beginning, by the way, in the beginning we're told that it's a sibling. We have the actual head of security, yeah. The assassin, and that's June 27. She's another sibling. That's what we find out in the beginning. You're going to get to that. Keep that in mind later on. The only other person that we have in the group would be Glenn, and that is the husband of Hilda. And basically, it's a marriage of convenience. Basically, Melanie was trying to take Glenn, who is favorable. He's kind of entertaining, although he's a nutcase and a drug addict. And she was trying to take him as the public face to speak because Hilda, she's kind of paranoid and in a bunker. Because she's paranoid of this shaman who is going to come and get her because of, you know, things that she's done to their people.
Yeah.
And in this case, they don't know about this young boy who, when they murdered his family, ended up with the shaman. And as it goes on, we see this young boy grows up. And that is where our hero is. But our hero gets his time before his time because Glenn and Gideon come to town to get people for the culling. And basically, what ends up happening is the boy gets tired of their shit.
Yep.
But before that, it makes it a lot easier because Glenn, drug addict and irrationally is, ends up killing a member of the crowd, which turns the crowd against him.
Yeah.
So we get a full-on riot where he is just taking candy and throwing it at them. Just making everybody a little bit more angry.
I felt like it was like that Maria Antoinette moment. Let them eat cake. Yes. Let them eat candy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the boy now is like, fuck this. I'm standing up. Nobody else is dying. And the shaman's like, don't do it. Of course, he doesn't listen. And he ends up sneaking off in the trunk of a car. Ron, what does he discover when he initially opens the trunk?
Dead body. Guess you got to move over.
Scooch over.
Scooch over. Scooch over. Yeah, so his inner monologue is hilarious. But there's a dead body already in the trunk. So he goes back, and that's how he sneaks into their headquarters, if you will. And while there, he ends up getting ousted because around this time, he starts seeing visions of who, Diesel?
His younger sister, who he had, you know, who in our flashbacks, we see as they're getting shot, her hand letting go of his and falling off. So it's the memory of his dead sister that's going to help him out through this.
Yeah, his mother, his sister, both murdered by the Vanderkoys during the culling. So he wants to get revenge on Hilda. That's his driving. By the way, there's a lot of funny humor that we're not going over, which we'll probably talk about in likes, because the inner voice in the head is great at times.
If you're a fan of the TV show Archer and how it's written, it's very much like a live-action Archer.
Yeah. In that aspect, completely. Mixed with a kung fu movie.
Yeah.
Like a cheesy 1970s, early 80s kung fu film.
Yeah.
So it hit all of our... That's once again, hence why the thumbs up. It was super entertaining. So this is where we finally meet Basho. Because Basho is just working at a table, and because of the not their sister, our hero boy gets outed in front of all these guards, so he's got to start trying to fight back. And of course, he's a fucking killing machine, so he's slaughtering them with different weapons and stuff. And Basho is like, hey, if you let me out, I'll help you. And he's like, all right, well, you go fight them, and I'm gonna stick with the cart.
I'm gonna do cart things.
What are you doing? Cart things.
And then our hero, the boy, is so happy that he's finally on a team.
Yes, yes. He's on a team. He murders all these people. He's on a team. So then him and Basho escape, and they go to visit the Resistance, because we find out Basho is a member of the Resistance. But the Resistance, when they go to the house, Ron, it's not looking too promising.
Looks empty for the first few minutes that they're in there, and then all of a sudden comes
Benny.
Benny. And Benny doesn't speak English.
Well, we don't know this. Go ahead, Diesel.
So the boy, he explains this throughout the thing. He's gotten very good at reading lips, but Benny has a beard, and it might throw off his lip reading ability, because we, as the viewer, are seeing the movie through his eyes, cannot understand a fucking word that Benny says.
It's all ridiculous shit. It's like doobop deebop. And he's like, what? Yeah.
Doobop deebop? Oh, yeah.
So they must come up with a plan to, you know, infiltrate and take care of the family, and the entire time, he is just nodding his head in agreement because he is too embarrassed to make it known that he has no idea what's being said.
So they take out a couple guards and a cook, and they put the boy in the cook outfit to get into the mansion. So he gets into the mansion, and he's walking around because he's a chef, and that's when we get the fun macaroon scene.
Well, his sister tells him to do chef things, so he's just walking through with a cheese grater, a block of cheese, and just grating cheese as he's walking upstairs. Not into anything, just grating a block of cheese. And then she points out the macaroons, and he loses his shit over the macaroons.
He loves macaroons. So he sends his sister, who is not alive, is imaginary, on a side quest to get all the macaroons so when they're done, they can share all the macaroons. So in the meantime, he finds out where the Hilda is in the house. And he goes and he cuts her fucking head off. End of movie, right? Nope. It's a body double. Because Gideon, what does Gideon like to do, Diesel?
Gideon writes his own little plays, essentially. And this is just a diversion, because they knew somebody's eventually going to come after them. So the Night of the Culling, they have body doubles come in and act the part so the real family can be safe. And if anyone makes an attempt on their life, we're right there.
Yeah, except for Grandma.
By the way, we get the best, him getting out of trouble, him getting out of being captured with a cheese grater. Possibly the best getting out of trouble of all time.
Yes. The action scenes in this movie are absolutely phenomenal and absolutely brutal. And the cheese grater scene is especially so brutal.
Yeah, we did forget a part. Before they get to the mansion, they do catch Glenn. And as he's going to tell them, I'll get you in, I'll take you to her, because he's a snitch. We find out early in the movie he sells out Gideon quick as shit, just as soon as he gets looked at by Melanie. So basically, Glenn's like, I'll take you, whatever. And what they were using is that Basho is holding like a vice, like a heavy vice over his head, being like, I'll drop this on you if you don't talk. Well, he talks for so long that Basho loses grip and it smashes his head. By the way, super graphic and awesome.
Super graphic, very much like a reminiscent of the scene with in Pulp Fiction where they blow off the kid's head. Yeah. Where was it on purpose? But now here we are.
So we forgot that part because it's absolutely great. But anyways, so he gets captured and Gideon's like, hey, basically June 27 is beating the shit out of him. He's like, that's not going to work. Give me a minute with him. So basically he's like, listen, I get it. I understand. I don't want to do this shit neither. But here's the thing. I don't think you can make it, whatever. Then he goes, well, you know what? Let's see what you can do. And then all of a sudden he's free. And he's beating down people, and it's realized later when they capture him again to try to get him killed in this, like, a commercial, if you will. And we'll get to that in a second. It's basically Gideon handed him, like, some kind of file or knife so he can cut through the rope.
It was a scalpel.
It was a scalpel. Oh, it was a scalpel?
Because he was going to use that to torture him. Because he goes, the torturing you gets me a nosebleed, so... let's just see how well you. Let's see how far you can.
Let's see how tenacious you really
tenacious.
Are.
That's
so,
it. Sorry.
In the meantime, because Glenn is dead, so he can't host the show. Hilda comes out of hiding to host the show herself. So basically, they got him tied up on the stage. Hilda's right there. He figures out at some point that he can get out, and once he does, this whole scenario plays out where it is basically people in mascot outfits and then some people in masks killing the people from the Culling in like a commercial for. Basically Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. Frosted cereal, whatever. Frosty O's or whatever they call it.
Whatever it was called. It was a cereal that they liked when they were kids, even.
It's like a Winter Wonderland setup, but there's a pineapple, there's a pirate, there's snowmen, and
the rogue octopus.
It is just a mishmash of commercialism that is endorsing and monetarily supporting the Culling.
Yeah. So, in the meantime, there's also a goat. And then basically our hero, the boy, gets free and he's taking people out, but they finally catch him. They got him on this rock and he's like, oh man, here I am. I'm going to die at the hands of a goat. Somebody in a goat costume.
The goat's got a big ass hammer.
Yeah, about to come down on him. But then he takes out the henchman and we find out it's Basho.
Basho.
And what was the line that we love so much that he said here, Diesel, or did you forget?
I forgot.
He was he says, and I quote, I'm a fucking goat, mate. Looks right at him. I'm a fucking goat, mate. After he takes off the head. Fucking hilarious.
Benny shows up there fully loaded with an arsenal at the same time.
And they start slaying motherfuckers. But unfortunately, Benny gets killed by Melanie when she gets on her crazy shit. She also ends up taking a shot and hitting. Well, actually, Benny saves the boy. And that's how he meets his demise. Yeah. She also ends up getting and shooting Basho. But he's still alive at the moment. And then she meets her demise by the hands of the boy.
Yeah.
So then Basho's like, hey, I told you I'd get her to you. I'm going to lead you the way. I don't give a damn. You know, because he's in bad shape. He's going to die. But he takes him to the hallway, and the boy clears this hallway. And when he looks back, his friend Basho is now also dead. Yeah. So his team has been disbanded. So he kills this whole hallway full of people. By the way, insane amount of gore, insane amount of violence. It was amazing.
Yeah.
If you're talking about great scenes, this movie, Diesel pointed out, if you want to go see just fun, violent, gory action, this is the fucking movie. Am I wrong?
No. Beautifully fight choreographed. No. Like, if you're a fan of, like, the Daredevil hallway scene, like, you'll enjoy this movie for the sheer brutality of the fight scenes and how well they are choreographed.
I don't remember Ben Affleck in a hallway scene.
So as they get to the end of this hallway, he bumps into Gideon, who has now been shot by Melanie before she went out to do her business. And he's like, hey, man. Good on you, whatever. And he's going to go to kill him. And the little girl's like, no, don't kill him. He helped us. And he's like, I don't need you anymore. And basically dispels her memory away before chopping Gideon's fucking head off.
Yeah, because at some point he picked up a katana.
Which Gideon was fine with, because Gideon even tells him, you got to do what you have to do. I'm all for it. Go get her. You know what I mean? I'm tired of this shit. And so he also gave him the car to operate the elevator. So he gets in the elevator. And once he's in the elevator, of course, it gets override. And it's Hilda. And she's like, you know, sitting there, and she's kind of chastising about how he's going to fucking die, because as soon as that door opens, there's going to be a bunch of people, they're going to shoot you full of holes. And his response, of course, because he can't talk anyways, but his response is to show the picture that him and his sister drew when they were kids of plans, you know. And that, for some reason, triggers something, because she quickly scans off. When the doors open, the guards don't fire, and he's standing in position. And then June 27 comes up and says, she'll see you now. Well, it says on her visor, because her visor says shit. She also talks, so it's kind of weird that they have
both. The visor looked cool, though. I think I was just like...
The visor did look cool. I'm not going to say it didn't look cool. So they go into the office, and we find out, ooh, what a twist. And Diesel, what is the twist of Boy Kills World?
All right. So we find out that Hilda is not the person that killed his family. Hilda is his mother. And June is his sister. So we find out that the person he is sent to kill is not who he was.
Right.
That's who he thought was missing. And we find out that the bigger twist is that he is the one that killed the shaman's family by order of his mother holding the gun and all that. Yeah. And the shaman escaped and took him after he's having a freak out for killing, you know, kids. And the shaman kind of brainwashes him.
Not only does he make him deaf and cut out his tongue to make him mute, he then brainwashes him into thinking that his wife, who was killed, was his mother, yep, and that his sister was killed, and that it was killed by Hilda, so he would go kill his own mother. And so we have this whole scene, and basically he's not... I don't know. He's believing it, but he's not. It's kind of a weird thing. It's coming back to him. But his mother decides, you know what? He's not in there. He was sent to kill me. So he tells his sister, essentially, like, hey, you can go ahead and kill him. He's not really your brother. He's gone. You know, that shell is gone. They brainwashed him. He's gone. So she goes over and she starts whooping his ass. And we saw it the early in the movie. Ron, when the brother and sister came up to the statue of Hilda, the sister did something that the brother followed, and it was kind of what was it?
It was her way of saying, I'm not scared of her, not saying it was her mother, but then her...
Yeah, we didn't know it was her mother at the
time. So, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to flip her off. But she did it with all her hands, because she says, I'm flipping her off with all five fingers. I just gave her five fingers, because I just did all of them.
All five middle fingers. So
it's so quick that it's all five or middle fingers. Yeah. And so right before she goes to give the kill to the boy, he puts his hand up like that, which causes her to flashback, and then she fucking kills her mother.
Yep.
So now they're together again, brother and sister. They were close anyways. You know, that was the whole thing. She even tells him, I've done all these things because I hated these people because they took you from me.
Yeah. So I never stopped looking.
I didn't believe you were dead, but I made every one of them pay because they, you know, that's why she became who she became. Yep. And so they finally run into the shaman after fighting, by the way, more hallway fights, which are epic.
Yep.
They run into the shaman, and the shaman's like, hey, you did what I needed you to do. Good job. There's only one left.
The boss battle.
He's like, there's only one left, and it's his sister. And he's like, I ain't going to fight her. So they end up doing a tag team against the shaman. The shaman's whooping some ass.
This is an intense fight that is extremely brutal. Throughout all the training montages, the shaman's always been ahead of the boy. And with his sister there, they eventually get some blows in. But they are getting fucked up.
And it looks like they're going to die at a bunch of different times. But finally, he gets a heads up at some point. He gets the necklace off of off the shaman, and he fucks him up. Like, I had to cringe when he cut his Achilles. He's slicing into his chest. He's cutting through his face. He gave him, like, $1.50 cut right through his face.
And then,
like,
the shaman repaid him with that later, too. All the way down his leg, all the way up his arm.
The shaman gets it back, and then he cuts right down, like, the middle of his arm so you can see his tendons, right down the back of his leg so you can see his tendons. Like,
the entirety of the leg.
Dude, it is disturbing and disgusting, but it's amazing all at once. And they end up on the ground, and usually when the boy would even be on top of him when we saw in training, he couldn't get the knife down. This time, he's sitting there, and he's trying to get it down, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, we see the image of him as a young boy put his hand on top of the boy's hand, and he pushes down, and he kills the shaman. Well, he slits his fucking throat pretty deep. It's pretty disturbing, too. And, he gets his sister, and she's like, leave me, you know, blah, 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 blah. But nope, he's going to take her with him. And as they go, we have this weird ending where it's kind of like the movie itself has this weird ending where we focus on the video game that they used to play and them playing the video game. And then it kind of just cue the fucking music.
Yeah.
And there's a little animated thing where it's kind of like showing like the different people who are in the movie in anime style, which I thought was really cool. Yep. And then we go to the normal credits, and then there was a post credit scene. And Ron, what was the post credit scene?
They were sitting in a beat down house at a table eating their favorite cereal.
Just like they did when they were kids.
And they're just looking at each other.
So we know that they made it out alive and
survived. They survived.
And they still love that cereal that endorses the colony.
Yeah. By the way, one of your other favorite lines, if you didn't remember, was when Melanie was like, do you know how hard it is to convince a cereal company to pay for mass murder?
I did that. I got a cereal company to pay us for mass murder.
So it's pretty awesome. So with that being said, guys, we've made it through the movie. I will say this. We said a lot of likes and stuff along the way, but let's add some to it. So let's start with the likes. Ron, do you have any likes you want to add for Boy Kills World?
Overall, like I'm not gonna lie, I was a little worried about it being Death Mute after Silent Night, even though I always said this is what Silent Night should have been. The fact how they did it, it works great.
You got to hear his inner thoughts.
You just hear his inner thoughts. You don't have to, you know, nobody else realizes he's a Death Mute until he either shows him
the card
or the paper that he made that says I can read lips, blah blah blah. And it's done very well. And Bill Skarsgård, you know, his acting without speaking, I'm not gonna lie, was phenomenal in this, because you felt all his emotions through this, and he was able to deliver such things with just his face, like that some people can't do. Yeah. Like I know damn well I couldn't do it. So like it worked very well for this. It's one of those things. It's Archer. I just wish it was like they had the right stuff to use Archer and just be like, oh, I did chose this voice because of this TV, this cartoon I used to watch or something.
Or there was a character named Lana and his inner monologue was like, Lana!
Yeah. Something like that. Something like that, you know, would have been great. And it's one of those things, like the action sequences through this, everyone's great. Even the quick, you know, quick fight scenes in there, everyone's great through it all. You're just like, okay, here we go. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, got it. Boom, we're good. And you just knew where it was going. You know, the twist was okay. I wasn't upset about the twist. It was a nice little twist. I mean, it wasn't an M. Night Shyamalan twist, but it was there. You know, you figured June was his sister from the beginning. I didn't really go that deep into thinking about it being his mother.
Yeah.
I'll admit that. Like,
that was the part that got me.
I'm not gonna lie. I didn't go that deep. I'm like, oh, that's his sister. Okay, fine, whatever. That's gonna be the twist, quote unquote. And then I'm like, oh no, he killed the kid. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't go that far. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't see that one coming, but it wasn't a bad twist. It was interesting just to give you more reason and to have that epic fight scene with the shaman at the end. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a reason for it.
Yep.
And then that's the whole reason of this movie. Like, you think it's to kill her?
Hilda.
No, it's not. It's to have that fight scene between the shaman and the boy.
The student has become the master.
Yeah.
Diesel, any likes you would like to add?
Yeah, just reiterating all the things we've already said. Like, the fight choreography in this movie was absolutely phenomenal. It kind of sucks that we don't know the official budget for this, because for how great it looks, I actually think they did it with probably a pretty small budget, which is like something that the South African directors can do quite well.
Yeah.
Like, they can make their money spread out and put on fantastic looking things. So I am curious to what the actual budget is, because everything in this movie looks and sounds amazing.
Yeah.
The twist was cool. Like Ron said, you picked up on the sister really quick, but then they still swerve you with the mother and then to do the double swerve with the shaman.
Yeah.
really cool.
They try to throw you off with the sister too, because the license plate says 6/27.
Yeah.
For June 27th. Like, okay, they really tried hard to swerve you on that, but it wasn't that hard.
Yeah. But overall, like, there was a lot of entertaining value to this movie.
Yeah. Once again, can reiterate the same. Fight scenes were great. Lots of good comedy in this, I thought. They did something that's very tricky to do. We talked about it last week with Abigail, and we've talked about it in the past with other dark comedies, if you will, turning gore into comedy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can cross the line when shit gets too gory, and especially when it's realistic gore. Yeah. And in this case, I mean, we saw people getting, like, their shit shoved down their throats, or eyes, or Achilles, which is all, like, really tender shit to you.
Punched across the face with a cheese grater.
Yeah, pretty much. Multiple.
The big old vice grip just dropped on his head.
Yeah,
just,
you know what I mean?
Slippery hands.
But there's a point where you can make that funny, and they somehow walk that line. Yeah. Instead of making you just, instead of like Terrifier 2, which we both enjoyed, the gore is there to fucking just make you sick. The gore in this was there to make you laugh. Yeah. And they did a good job, but it could easily go the other way because of how much gore. I thought they did a great job there. Let's go into dislikes, because I think we've all trumped it the same. I'll start it off and go back in the reverse order. Two of the big dislikes for me is because the story gets sacrificed a lot in this, because I don't think the story is first. Like, there's the main story, the sister, the final battle, that stuff is fine. But, like, they don't really give a shit about sticking to any, like, lineage. Like, they tell you this in the fucking, his mental things. Like, as he's talking about things there, he's just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they tell you this up front. So, there's some of the things that got bogged down that I don't think made any difference in the movie. So there's a few scenes that you could have cut, got it down to about an hour and a half. I know I do this all the time, but
yeah,
it's true.
Two hours was a little pushing.
Hour 51, but still
pushing. Yeah, that's pushing it, man.
And the other thing is, I think, and mind you, this is a budget thing. I agree with you. Budget probably was a little lower, because I would have liked to hear a better soundtrack. This movie lent itself to have a fucking awesome soundtrack.
True.
And I just think that because they didn't spend the money on it, we didn't get it. Because could you imagine if they would have put, like, this was the perfect example, like when you were talking earlier, we could have done some, you know, old new metal, because I don't think you do something new, some 80s and 70s music, kind of like, you would have been, it would have been
stuff that the kid would have remembered but can't hear now.
Yes. Yeah. And it would have been great. Like, could you imagine, like, one of the fucking fight scenes, the old time rock and roll or some shit? Like, like, in my head, I'm like, and I'm not saying that is the exact song, but like, in my head, I'm like, that would be so cool. Or like, I know that we have, for the patrons, they got to hear today, I opened the show usually with some music. We did the Rock by fucking
I am the rock
by Simon and Garfunkel. Thank you. We did that. Like, that'd have been funny to see during a fight scene, because that's something he remembered his mom playing. And as he's fighting through, you just hear, I am the Rock. I am an island. Like, what the fuck? You know, it would have been great, right? So I think that was a big, and once again, you can't really correct it, but I think the score and soundtrack could have been better.
Yep.
Diesel.
Yeah, the story is secondary, but with a stylized violence movie like this, you don't really need a huge story. Like, in my mind, I equate it to movies like Once Upon a Time in Mexico or Shoot 'Em Up, where Shoot 'Em Up was essentially a live-action Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah, it was.
Where the story itself is a throwaway. It's just to get to the action beats, and this movie is nonstop action. There is very little downtime of dialogue, and of those dialogues, like, there are some stories with, like, Gideon, like, writing a speech, and that's what set off Charlita Copley's character was, none of these people have seen an owl. He's like, well, it ties it all together at the end. It was like, there's these weird little sub-storylines that are humorous, but not needed.
Yeah, agreed. Ron, anything you want to fill up in the dislikes?
The transition from action to non-action part of this movie. It's like you have all this high octane visual action sequences, you know, John Wick style, Beekeeper style, maybe a little bit more than them, and then all of a sudden you just hit a brick wall. They try to throw in a comedy beat there to keep you going, but it's like it just bogs real quick. And then you get the little build up to get back there, a couple comedy beats, and then you're back into the high octane action. Then it's like another brick wall, and that kind of is like, okay.
Yeah, the transitions are a little rough.
The transitions were a little rough in this movie. That's one of the things that, like, it just doesn't, like, there's not the slow curve down. It's just like, okay, boom, 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 bam, fight's over. Like, for whatever reason,
they would have been better off to go the route, if I was, mind you, we can do this all day, but they would have been better off to go the route of like a Crank,
yeah,
where it's like nonstop action once the action starts,
yeah,
like literally, like Yeah. You know what I mean? Not saying the Crank is better than this.
No.
Not saying, you know, that I'm even, but I'm just saying, if you think about that, it's one of the few movies that once the action starts, it doesn't fucking stop.
Yeah.
And I think that this movie, to your point, they should have given us the backbeats, and then once the action started, they should have just gone full foot on the gas. In between the fights, they can go through the halls and have their little comedy spots. That doesn't take long.
Yeah.
You're back into the fight scene right after. It would have probably made it a lot concise, yeah, if you will. And also, one of the things Crank did, they had a bunch of new metal on its soundtrack. See, could you imagine a better version of Crank? Well, I may have given a little bit away. But now that we've gone through the full spoiler, full review, and gave our likes and dislikes, it's time to find out what other places around the internet gave it. And you know how we like to do that.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
That's right, it's time to play the game. The two gentlemen are going to get scores from around the internet. The first to 3 points, and that's, by the way, you get a point is by getting closest to the score. And the first to 3 points wins the game this week. Diesel is on a 5-week win streak. Can he go to 6? Or will Ron finally end the tyranny, if you will?
I can only go to 10.
All right, so Ron, you get to go first because you're the challenger. And it's going to be IMDb out of 10. Using points, what did they give Boy Kills World?
I really don't know where to go with this one because I really enjoyed this movie more than I probably should have. And I know I'm going to be too high on this.
6.8. Diesel.
I think it's 6.7. I think we're going to display the numbers game.
All right. 6.7, 6.8. And Ron gets the point. 6.8.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nice.
Right on the money.
I honestly didn't know, guys. I don't cheat at this shit.
Ron leads 1-2-0. Diesel, you could go first here. This is Metacritic. You remember, critics only. Out of 100%, what did they give Boy Kills World?
I'm going to say 53%.
53. Ron.
I think because it came out of, you know, South Africa, we're going to give it just that 54.
Okay. So 53, 54, and Diesel gets the point, 45%.
Okay.
45%. So we're tied 1-1. Ron, you get to go first. This is the Rotten Tomatoes critic score. That's right. Critics from Rotten Tomatoes, what did they give Boy Kills World?
Rotten Tomatoes has, they're repeating, but I'm going to go 48.
Diesel.
Rotten Tomatoes critics are usually higher than Metacritic, so we'll just go cut you off at the knees, 49.
It's 48, 49, and Diesel gets the point, 60%. 60%.
Ooh, oh, wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. I would not have gone high. I wasn't expecting that.
All right, Diesel leads 2-1. And with this next one, you could take the victory. And you get to go first, Diesel. This is the Rotten Tomatoes fan score. So fans on Rotten Tomatoes, what do they give Boy Kills World?
Not a lot of people saw it, as we saw with the box office. But I think this is going to be strikingly high. I'm going to go 77%.
77. Ron.
Ooh, that's a good score. I like 77. I'm going to... You're going to win because I'm going to go 76 because I'm just playing the numbers.
Yep.
But you're going to win.
77, 76, and Ron gets the point. Wow. 65%. 65%.
Okay. Okay. I was wrong.
And now this brings it down to Letterboxd.
I hate Letterboxd. I never
using points. That's why. This is the best. I hate this is the best tiebreaker. So, Ron, you get to go first. Out of 5 using points, what did they give Boy Kills World?
2.3.
Diesel.
I won't be a dick. We'll go 3.
2.3. 3. He's going to make me do math if it's in between, isn't
that's
he?
That's the only reason why I don't care if he goes one above.
That's why he's a dick here.
It saves math.
All right. Well, we do know, no matter what, we do have a winner. And your winner. And still champion Diesel.
I can never get this.
3.1 out of 5.
I can never get this.
Letterboxd enjoyed it. By the way, there's a lot of people who I have... Not a lot of people went to see it, but a lot of people that I know that went to see it, a lot of them liked it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. They're not saying it's the greatest movie of all time. I don't think either of us will give our scores in a minute. But I will say this. Very fun. So, with that being said, now that we know the scores from around the internet, let's finally give our scores, because it's time to... could chime in and find out what the nerd scores are.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
So we are going to give our nerd score for the movie, and the nerd score is on the nerd scale. And basically, the nerd score is a recommendation score, so it is our critic score, and you add entertainment in. So that means the movie could be critically bad. However, if it's really entertaining, it could take it to that next level. So with that being said, and then vice versa can happen. The nerd scale is five parts and five parts alone. The first level is a no. That means the movie is terrible. You should never see it. A two is you've been warned. That means the movie's not quite terrible, but it ain't good. So you've been warned not to see it. A three is, it's good. That means it's an average to good film. You're not going to regret seeing the film, but you'll probably never watch it again, and there's no reason to rush out to see it. A four is just take my money. That means it's a very good to great film. These are movies that you probably will see again, and maybe even add them to your collection. Maybe even, you know, put them in your rotation. They just missed the top tier, but they're still very good to great. And last but certainly not least is the rarefied air, known as certified nerd. These are for the legendary movies. These are movies like Jaws, Jurassic Park, where across the board, most people love those movies. You're going to add them to your collection. You're going to go see them in the theater. You're going to see them when it's re-released. You're going to add the steelbook. You know, it's going to be all sorts of crazy stuff because that is a movie that is legendary in your world. So with that being said, let's find out our scores. Starting with you, Ron, what is your nerd score for Boy Kills World?
I enjoyed this movie probably more than I should have. This is one of those movies that I'm putting at a four.
Show me the money!
The entertainment in this movie and the comedy beats were good enough to keep it there. The action's great in this movie. It's not anything that's going to be, you know, the breaking down walls. But if you want a good action, action comedy, dark comedy, you know, with good choreographed fight scenes, like if you're, you know, like the classic kung fu movies, like this is your movie, this is your jam, this is, you know, you like any of those kind of action, you know, type of things, you're gonna enjoy this. Like the story is secondary, but there's a bunch of 80s movies that the story was the same thing, secondary, just that have the whole thing be action, and it fits. It's a fun watch. I don't think you'd be disappointed. I would like to see a part two to it, just to see where the story goes. Who else are they gonna fight? You know, let's see where it happens.
All right, Diesel, what is your nerd score and why?
I'm also at a four.
Show me the money!
We're talking a strong four for this one for me. This one, even though it's not doing good in the box office, I think definitely has the cult status, going to have the cult following behind it. I think this is going to be one of those movies that people really enjoy the franchise. If you're a fan of comic books, there is very much comic book stylized violence. If you're a fan of video games, there is very much a feel of a video game going through the bosses through this movie. This was a fun ride. This was very good. The story itself wasn't bad. It was good enough where you're like, all right, this is pretty cool. We didn't get enough backstory, but we didn't need it. We just needed to keep ourselves entertained. And I think the casting of H. John Benjamin as the narration for this movie was phenomenal. This was a fun watch. I highly recommend it.
I'm not even going to make you guys wait. Let's go clean sweep. I gave it a four as well.
Show me the money!
This movie was super entertaining and fun, and at the end of the day, that'll win me over no matter what. My critic score for this movie, I juggled it around. I know Diesel knew yesterday was either going to be a 6.5. It was right where I was falling, but I've given it a 7, because after thinking about it, the fight choreography deserves a lot more credit. Yes, there was some story inconsistencies and shit, but they didn't even care. By the way, this was one of those movies that, you know, we bitch about plot armor. I love the fact that they didn't care about plot armor because they were just like, fuck that, who cares? So you have to give them some credit for that, even though technically it was still there. Some of the problems with the story, whatever. Yeah, critically, it comes down a little bit, but this is a perfect example about how you can raise this in entertainment. This movie was fun. At the end of the day, I get it. If you're not into fun movies, you know, and I hate to say it that way, but like this was a perfect mix between, like Diesel said, like an archer, a video game, something like that. Oh, and then a kung fu movie from like the 70s or 80s when kung fu movies were king.
Yeah.
So they always had cheesy premises that always based around revenge. That's what you have here. And at the same point in juncture, at least they made it super fucking entertaining because we have a mute and deaf killer, but he has an inner monologue that is phenomenal, and they do it over the top, and I love how they explain, like, I don't remember what my voice sounds like, so because I don't remember that, I remember this, what the video game that me and my sister used to play, so my inner monologue is that voice.
And then, like, Benny, whenever Benny talking, you had the flashback of Benny, what was going on, like, the running around with a dodo and the bread man, and there's just a random dude in a bread suit, just
standing next to him holding a dodo.
With the dodo when it was funny. But you know, the fun part is he ended up executing that plan to perfection. Didn't understand a damn word of it. Yeah. And I like it. Him and the girl were sitting on the couch at that point, and they're like, just nod and act like you know it. Act like you're good with it.
Act confident.
Yeah. You don't say much, do you? It was what Basho said to him. But, you know, anyways, it was a fun movie. Like I said, there was flaws. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't, you know. But I'll tell you what, this is a movie that I'm probably going to see again. Yeah. And I might even add it to the collection, because I'll tell you what, if you add a little bit of something, a little secret ingredient, if you will, this movie becomes a lot of fun, even more than it already is. I think it's fun already, but you can make it more fun, if you will. If you will. But if you would like to give us your thoughts or opinions and tell us how you feel about this movie, you can either hit us up on the social medias, or if you want to do it with spoilers in it, because we'd hate to have people have the movie spoiled for them, go ahead and hit us on the email. You can find all that information at 3fnpodcast.com. With that being said, Ron, I believe you have some business to attend to.
2 out of 10 stars. What a horrible piece of dung. Everything that was funny was clearly not intended to be. The story and acting are pretty worthless and pitiful. I wish this series never would have started to begin with, as the others are pretty meaningless also. 2 out of 10 stars. The Terminator just sucks, people.
Diesel, any thoughts?
Well, we took a step back. We went back down to the 2s.
Well, I have to find other places to get some.
But, hey, that is a good review. If you're giving something a 2, you really don't like it. So, kudos to them for that. I think that they're wrong. But at least they're not just like, 2 out of 10. Well, this movie has some good ports. You know, it kept me engaged. This movie fucking sucks, and I'm going to say it fucking sucks. So, that 2 is a good rating for that.
You know, it's 2024. These graphics aren't going to work for me, brother. I feel like they should update the graphics.
Why didn't she just use her goddamn cell phone?
This review was December 18th, 2012.
By the way, oh, wow, an older one. By the way, I just want to point this out. If you guys, if this is one of the first times you're listening, there was a review a few shows ago, maybe even a month ago, where literally the person was like, man, they should have updated the graphics, because this does not meet the standards of 2024. It's just like, the movie was made in 1984.
Bitching about the costumes being all 1984 outfits.
They were all 80s costumes.
What was her with her hair like that?
Why didn't she just use her cell phone? And she's going to go through the book? Like, who goes through a phone book? Like, what even is that thing?
Yeah, there was a giant book that he's just, like, going through, and it had a bunch of names in it. And I don't know what that is.
It's unbelievable. Whatever. Anyways, crazy stuff. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the 3FN Podcast. We'll be back next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. And next week, we will be giving you the 3FN Movie Club review of The Fall Guy. So we get to see that beautiful, beautiful man that is known as Ryan Gosling. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset about that in the least. Nope. By the way, just throwing that out there. You know, hey, would you? Yes, I would.
Bill Skarsgård didn't fucking...
He looked good in this movie. I still think that Alexander's my favorite Skarsgård. Mm-hmm. The Northman.
Mm. I don't know. A deaf mute? He can't say the things I do to him.
Yeah, but you took a hole away. I'm just saying. But, Alexander Skarsgård and Northman.
We just took the welcome mat away.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
The door's still there.
Well, with that being said, if you find yourself in that position, you're looking for somebody, Diesel's got your hookup. Like Big Papa Pump. Let's just throw it out there. Hit him up on them social medias at Big Natty Cool. With that being said, though, that's going to do it for this week's episode. For the other nerds and for myself, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most importantly, later, nerds.
Later.
Lana!
The Terminator just sucks, people.